Let us turn to the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Praise God. The title of the sermon is simply Remember. Let us all say remember. Praise God. Let me tell you that it's easy to learn many new things. That's not the problems of humanity. Our problem seems to be to remember that which is good, that which comes from Jesus, that which is needful. Praise God. We remember so many unnecessary things. And these things often bring us sorrow, bring us pain. We need to pray, and through this message, I hope to help us to understand what God wants us to do. He wants us to remember His word, remember His name, His blessings, His truth. Hallelujah. Memory is one of the most precious gifts that God gave us. Amen. Memory is the ability to recall past events, promises, lessons, and such things. Amen. Imagine, God forbid, if we had lost our memory today through dementia, Alzheimer's, or whatever. I mean, imagine not remembering who you are, who other people are, wonderful things that happened in your life, or even the not so wonderful things, but important things. Do you see how consciousness really a huge component, the bedrock of consciousness, is memory? Amen. Memory comes from the Latin word memoria. It means the faculty of retaining and recalling thoughts and experiences from the past. Amen. Why is this important? Because this is vital in relation to our connection with God, our relationship with Jesus. Amen. If we cannot remember, indeed, we're in serious trouble. Needless to say, it's redundant to really talk about it, but we should talk about it. The issue of remembrance is so important in the eyes of God that actually the Jews call the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses, they just call it the book of remembrance. Amen. There is an entire book in the Old Testament that God dedicated to recalling past events for a people who were not yet dead. Moses kept telling them, remember, remember what happened at that place. Remember when you tempted God here. Remember how God fed you the manna. So the book of Deuteronomy is the book of remembrance. In fact, when you look at the book of Deuteronomy, so many times God repeats, remember. I'll give you a few examples. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15, Moses says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Can we say, we remember? Can we all say, we were also in sin before Jesus found us? Amen. Never forget that. Always remind yourself as often as you can. It's not only for the children of Israel to hear that they were slaves in the land of Egypt. We were slaves to sin before the Son set us free, praise God. I cannot imagine where I would have been if Jesus did not deliver me from my sins, from my past. Hallelujah. I probably would be going to Saudi Arabia to kiss a stone, a black stone, in the middle of the desert. Do you know the second largest religious gathering in the world is one where so many millions come and they kiss a black stone? I've often asked my Muslim friends, if you believe in one God who is invisible, why do you pay so much money and travel so far to kiss a black stone in the desert, to go around a black stone and then kiss a black stone? And none of them are able to explain. They will tell you the stone fell from the Garden of Eden. It was white in the beginning, but by the time it landed in Mecca, it became white. Excuse me, what? So you basically are kissing a stone. You are going around a stone that somehow was ejected out of the Garden of Eden. Does that make sense to anyone? It's never made sense to me. I say this with all due respect to my Muslim friends. But I need to know what you believe in, why you are doing what you're doing. The Bible tells me to remember. I can't kiss a stone that I don't remember anything about. The only thing they remember is, what do they remember? Is Muhammad telling them, and remember to kiss the black stone which was thrown out of the Garden of Eden? What? That's nothing to remember. Listen, our faith makes perfect sense. We were sinners. Anyone who cannot acknowledge that he or she is a sinner is really dishonest. Come on, look at humanity, look at yourself. We know we are lacking something. We know we missed the mark. The Greek word for sin is hamartia, to miss the mark. The Apostle Paul put it beautifully. The good that I would do, I do not. The evil I do not want to do, I do it. What is this dwelling in me? It is called sin, brothers and sisters. And only honest people, good people, with good hearts, are able to acknowledge the Bible is true. Jesus said, unless we repent of our sins, we cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Unless a man is born again of the water and the spirit, you cannot. If a person cannot acknowledge that we are sinners, then you're not an honest person. There is no hope for such a person, I'm sorry to say. You have to believe what God says about us, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I found this teaching to be the easiest teaching to accept. Of course, I said. That makes sense. That's why I was struggling. I want to do good, but there is evil. And you feel ashamed and you feel guilty. But I know that I want to do good. I know I want to find God. So what is this thing? It's called sin. Repent of sin. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Because then you are being honest. You are being true to God's diagnosis of the human condition. Thank God he gave us the grace to say we are sinners. Thank God. Because many people are not able to acknowledge. There are many people going to hell and are in hell because they simply could not acknowledge the truth that they are sinners. And there's no one who can save you in this world. There's no educational system that can change you. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God, hallelujah. What is the gift of God? It is salvation through the name of Jesus. Somebody must die for us. Someone who is pure, holy, who has not been touched by sin. His name is Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the most beautiful story ever. On this earth, there will never be a greater story. There are so many authors who try to write better stories. So many Hollywood films that try to tell a better story. But the greatest story on this earth forever will be that Jesus Christ came. God was manifested in the flesh. Amen. He gave his life on the cross for our sins. This is the love of God, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. What an amazing story. Remember this story. Tell this story to your children. Tell it to your friends. Remember every day that we were sinners in the world in Egypt, but Jesus delivered us. Hallelujah. In the book of Deuteronomy, there are so many scriptures which keep talking about the word remember. Let me share another one. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Praise God. He said, thou shalt remember those 40 years. God was testing them. He gave them commandments to see if they will be faithful to him. Praise God. If I ask you, how many years have you walked with Jesus? How many years? I've said before, and I'm proud to say it again, next year marks 40 years since I saw Jesus in India, in a school called Barnes High School in India. Next year is 40 years. I will remember. I am remembering these 40 years that my God walked with me. He tested me to see what was in my heart, whether I will leave him and go back to Islam or not, or whether I will stay with the God of Moses, with the God of Abraham, with the God of David, with the God of Peter, with the God of John, with the God of Paul. Hallelujah. I'm happy to say I remembered him. And I have decided and pray for me to go back to India to thank Jesus for these 40 years. I remember all these years. He kept me. He tested me. He watched over me. How many years have you walked with Jesus, my friend? 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, 10 years, 15 years. However long you've walked with the Lord, the most important thing for you is to remember. Say with me, remember. Say, I will remember. I will remember my walk with the Lord. I will remember he took me out of Egypt. And I will remember all the years. And I'm determined to be faithful. You see, if you do not remember, you will forget. It's that simple. So God told Moses after 4 books, he said, now Moses, you've written Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And Moses must have said, any more books, Lord? Yes. The last book. Say with me, the last book of Moses. The last book of the law is the book of remembrance. Oh, hallelujah. Really? A whole book about remembrance? Yes. It's so important to remember that God gave one additional book, which just recollects all the other four books. Do you know that? That is how important it is to remember. Amen. That is how important it is to remember. Praise God. The Bible tells us there were some people in the days of the prophet Malachi, and these people did nothing else. They just came together. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, we can read about these people. It said, they that feared the Lord, like you, all of you who are here, you are people who fear the Lord. And that's why you come here. Nobody told you, go to this meeting on Saturday. There's a guy speaking from Norway. Go and listen to him. Nobody told you that. You feared the Lord. And the Bible says in Malachi 3:16, they spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance. Somebody say, remember. God will remember you. Why? Just for talking about him. For them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Wow. Can you imagine that? This is it's so exciting. Because at least I know one thing. In 40 years, I often love to talk about the Lord, to meet with people. Amen. And say, let's talk about Jesus. Amen. Let's read the Bible. Let's talk about him. Let's bless him. And God will remember you. That's why I'm so afraid and concerned for people who do not go to church. You are not in the book of the Lord, the book of remembrance. Only those who come together, who love to talk about Jesus, are in God's own book of remembrance. Do you know that when, let's say, a president or a king or some famous person dies, very often the tradition is you can go to the embassy of that country. And they have a book of remembrance. And you can write your name there and sometimes write a few words. It's called a book of remembrance for the person who died. Let me tell you, God himself, Jesus, has a book of remembrance. When we are talking about each other as we're doing today, he checks his book of remembrance. And he's happy that your name and my name is in that book. This is God's book. Whom does God remember? Those who fear him. Those who speak about him. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe this is what we need to tell the people who don't go to church. Since you don't remember God, God doesn't remember you. He didn't put your name in his book. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. God have mercy. We need to talk to the backsliders. We need to talk to those who do not come to meetings like this or Sunday meetings. God will not remember you. You are not in the book of God's remembrance. What a tragedy. You know, there are some people before they die, they want to give a lot of money so that somebody will build a statue of them. Somebody will build a memorial to them. So they donate money, then they are so afraid to be forgotten. They are so afraid to be forgotten. I heard of people who used to pay people to visit their graves and put flowers. God have mercy. I'm not exaggerating. There are people who are so afraid to be forgotten. They pay money to people to put flowers and to eulogize them and remember them. What a tragedy. Listen, you don't need to pay God any money so God remembers you. Just fear the Lord. Love him. Bless him. Desire to glorify him and be with the people who love to talk about him. And God will remember you. You don't have to worry about being forgotten. There was a man called Cornelius. He never forgot God. So God built a memorial to him. Think about it. He never forgot God. He would always pray. He would give alms. He did all of these things because he feared God. Do you think God is going to forget such a man? Never. Listen, you don't have to worry about whether the pastor in the church or your somebody in the church remembers you and says, oh, sister, oh, brother, you are such a holy person. Some people cannot live their Christian life without somebody recognizing them. Please don't live that way. All you need to do is to remember Jesus. And Jesus will remember you. He will build a memorial for you. All you need to know is God remembers you. Praise God. Amen. God has a book of remembrance. God even put many people's names in the Bible. Amen. The Bible is God's book. He told Moses what to write. He told the prophets what to write. He told the apostles what to write. Amen. All you need to be concerned about is to not be forgotten by God. It's okay if the whole world, nobody knows in the world who you are. Doesn't matter. Nobody needs to know who we are. What they need to know is who Jesus is. Praise God. And so we need to understand the message I'm talking about today is remember. Simple, remember. When we remember God's promises, when we remember his acts of deliverance, our faith is strengthened and our hope is renewed. Amen. So to remember the word of God and the things of God comes back to bless you. Hallelujah. And that's why you must take care of your memory. Remember Eve in the Garden of Eden? Satan deceived her into forgetting God's clear command. In Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You see, Satan attacks our memory of the word of God. Please understand what I'm saying. Satan is not afraid that you read the word of God and you pray and go to church. He wants to know if you remember the word of God. That's what he's afraid of. Amen. He's afraid of you remembering the word of God. Not just reading. Not just praying. He comes to test you. What do you remember? Did you read your Bible today? Yes. You think God spoke to you? Yes. So what did God say? You see, that's Satan's business, to undermine your memory, to question your memory. So be sure that you remember correctly. Hallelujah. Be sure that you know what the greatest command is in the Bible. The scribes came to test Jesus. Listen, God does not only test us. He allowed us to test him. We asked him, what is the greatest command of all? He didn't say, why are you asking me such questions? I'm the one who gave you these commandments. It is allowed to ask God, what is the greatest command? He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. God is not a trinity. Do not lie about God. God is one, forever one, indivisible. Praise God. You cannot multiply him. He himself answered the question that we posed and gave him. God is not like human beings that he forgets. He said, here is the greatest of all commandments. Say with me, the greatest of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. Who is this God? His name is Jesus. We will remember. We will never forget. Praise God. Is Jesus the one God? Yes. He said, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning, I'm the end. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who is Jesus? Paul said he is God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Where is God now? Well, God is manifest in the flesh. Jehovah is not Jehovah only. He is Jehovah Yasha, Yehoshua. Jehovah has become our salvation. So is God still one? Yes, absolutely. One spirit in one body. Praise God. Hallelujah. We will remember. Say, we will remember. We will not forget the greatest of all commandments. We will remember that Jesus Christ is the great I am. Because if we don't believe he's the I am, we will die in our sins. If a person does not believe Jesus is God, you will die in your sins. It is a sin not to believe Jesus is God. It's a sin. So most people in the world are living in sin today because they don't believe Jesus is God. This is what Jesus himself said. Amen. These are not my words. These are the words of the people who wrote the Bible. John chapter 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. What Jesus is saying is that sin is very powerful. There is nothing in the universe which can defeat sin. Only if you believe Jesus is God, that is more powerful than sin. That will defeat sin. Amen. So if a person is believing in some other things, it has no power to defeat sin. How powerful is sin? Well, look at the grave. Look at sickness. Look at death. This is how powerful sin is. So who is the only one who defeated sin? Say with me, Jesus. Who defeated the grave? You know what is the proof of sin's power? It's the grave. Who defeated the grave? Jesus. This is proof that Jesus is God. Anyone who says my religion is the true religion, well, defeat death. Rise up from the dead, then we will believe. But if you don't have power to rise up from the dead, then your religion is dead. Am I not right? I made a simple argument. Please listen to me. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. What Jesus is saying is, sin is too powerful. Nothing in the universe can defeat sin. Sin will kill everyone. But there was only one person sin could not keep in the grave. His name is Jesus. So the proof that there is only one name which can defeat sin is Jesus, because he defeated the grave. He rose up from the grave. No other religion has been able to do it. Not Muhammad is still in the grave. Buddha is still in the grave. Mahavira is in the grave. Zoroastra, Ahura Mazda, all of them are in the grave. Only one tomb is empty. The tomb of Jesus of Nazareth. We did not go to Israel to find his tomb, to find his body in the tomb. We went there because we knew he rose up from the dead. So it doesn't matter whether we find his tomb or not. Even if you know which one is his tomb, he's not there. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. This is powerful. This is powerful. I am talking about the only person who defeated death. who only person who has power over sin. His name is Jesus. You can try to follow any philosophy, any religion, any whatever. You can get as much money as you want. I was watching a documentary, very shocking, terrible. God have mercy. A man called Jeffrey Epstein. I'm not here to condemn him anymore. But you see, when you watch the documentary, a man who is a billionaire, he has islands. He has homes all over the world. He has helicopters. He has private jets. But you know what? None of it could help him to deliver him from his sin of pedophilia. The man was bound by this sin. He was addicted. None of his money could help him deliver him. Let me tell you a secret. Don't think that when you get a lot of money, your life becomes better. If you get a lot of money, let's say you win the lottery, do you know it's proven, research shows it, you will become 100 times the person you are, 100 times more. So if you have an addiction, that addiction will destroy you. Don't pray to become rich. Pray to be rich in Jesus. Remember the prophet who told God, do not give me riches, I will say, who is the Lord? And do not let me be poor because I will steal and bring shame upon your name. Hallelujah. So if you become extremely rich, then it will expose who you really are. Amen. If you have a good heart, if you are generous, you will give all your money for the poor like Barnabas. But if you are crooked, if you are evil, then your evil will be multiplied 100 times and it will destroy you. And Jeffrey Epstein ended up killing himself. Ah, God have mercy. My heart pained for him. I cried for him. Look, we are not called to judge anyone. We are called to pray for them too. We don't pray for the dead, but I'm saying only the devil should be happy when somebody is killed. I don't understand why anybody would be happy that Charlie Kirk was shot. Whatever your opinion of him, we should shed tears for the hatred, the sin, which thinks that killing somebody is doing the will of God. How is that the will of God? Even if you don't agree with Charlie Kirk, and I didn't agree with many things he said, believe that as long as there is life, there is hope for a person to change. But if we are going to play God and kill somebody, are you God to say the person cannot change? Oh, God, have mercy. We need to go back to the scriptures. There is a Christianity that is so confused today that it really, the devil is using this Christianity because it's not a Christianity from God. It's a Christianity which forgot that God was manifested in the flesh to die for us. While we were yet sinners, the flesh and blood died for us. Amen. Why? Because God so loved the world. Let's say he so loved the world. He loved every sinner. He loved the worst person. If you know the grace of God, you don't want anyone to be killed, to be hurt. You want everyone to be saved. This is what Paul said. Pray for those in power that we may live in peace. This is according to the will of God. Why? He wants all men to be saved, all men and women to come to the knowledge of the grace of God. This is through Christianity. Remember, somebody say, remember. Remember through Christianity. Praise God. So what happened to Eve? Eve failed to remember God's word accurately. And thus she opened the door for temptation. Obedience to God involves actively holding on to his word with faith, making sure our memory does not fail us at crucial moments. God himself underscores the importance of remembrance. When he gave Israel the commandments, what did he say? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 24, and then verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 24 and 26. It came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of the law in a book until they were finished, then God said, take this book of the law, put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Praise God. See, God made sure that Moses wrote his words in a book, and it was put in the ark of the covenant, so that nobody can corrupt or twist the word of God. Hallelujah. God wanted his people to have his word written down so they would not forget his goodness or turn aside in doubt. This is why the book of Deuteronomy is called the book of remembrance. God wants us to remember every interaction with us, every word that he gave us. Amen. Now, I don't need to remind you that in the book of Numbers 11, chapter 11, verse 5, there was a mixed multitude of people who really did not fear God. We don't know why they left Egypt with the children of Israel. Let me tell you, when the church is called out, church means ecclesia, called out, there will always be some people who join you who are not called out. God allows them to come to test us. Amen? Are you with me? You see, these people did not really love the God of Israel. These people were corrupt. Their hearts were in Egypt. But I have asked myself the question, so why did God allow them to come out? Why did he allow them to go through the Red Sea when they're so corrupt? Let me tell you, there will be people who travel with us to heaven. They will not make it to heaven, but they are with us at the altar. They get baptized with us. They shout hallelujah with us. They walk with us, but be careful. How do you know if they are dangerous or not? Well, simply check what they remember. Amen? Check, ask yourself, what do these people talk about? What do they remember? Let me tell you what they remembered in the desert. They did not talk about the 10 plagues that God visited, his mighty acts in dividing the Red Sea, etc. You know what they remembered? Look at Numbers 11, verse 5. You know what they said? We remember. Okay, what do you remember? God dividing the Red Sea? No. We remember the fish. Excuse me? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. My goodness. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Checklist, checklist. When you are with people in the church, check what they remember. Instead of talking about how God brought darkness in the land of Egypt, they said, we remember the fish. Another guy said, I remember the melons, the cucumber. Have you been around such people in the church? Be very careful. Be very careful. These people are remembering the wrong things. So why are you with me, by the way? Why don't you go back to Egypt? God is testing us through them. What are we going to remember? Will we remember the book of the law that God gave Moses? Are we going to remember these guys, a mixed multitude, who remember the fish and remember the melon? We don't need such people who remind us of such things. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. That is why, as a minister over the years, sometimes when I hear people go to the pulpit, take the mic, and they begin to talk about bad things from their past, I always say, excuse me, in private, please. Don't remind us about the fish and the cucumbers and the melons. We don't need to. Remind us how God delivered you. Remind us what God did. Don't remind us about the food the Egyptians were giving you. We don't need that. We are happy with manna in the desert. Praise God. Because God is giving us the manna. We are free, a free people eating a free food given from heaven freely. I don't want to be a slave eating fish and melon. And what do you want? Which menu do you want? What do you remember, brothers and sisters? Don't you think Moses could remember that he was a prince of Egypt? Do you know, never once did Moses speak about his past in Egypt. Never once. He could have easily remembered and gone back and said, I'm sorry, punish me, but receive me back into the palace. Please, Pharaoh, I miss the fish and the melon and the cucumber and the garlic and the onion. You know, these guys were detailed, by the way. You know, when the devil reminds you, he shows you the details. He tried to show the Lord all, you know, all the riches of this world and, you know, the beauty of this world. He wants to show you the menu in detail. Are you sure you are going to leave this menu and eat manna every day for 40 years? Say amen. I'm tired of being a slave of Pharaoh. God did not call me to be a slave to anybody, but to be a free son and daughter of Jesus, praise God. Hallelujah. Do not sell your freedom that Jesus bought so dearly for you, for melons and garlic and onion and fish. What do you remember? Hallelujah. I remember how Jesus appeared to me. I remember what Jesus said to me, that he is God. I remember being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. I was so happy. So happy. I was so peaceful. I remember Jesus delivering me from all my addictions. I remember shouting hallelujah. I remember traveling the world in the name of Jesus, seeing places I would never have seen in my life if it was not for Jesus. Praise God. I remember seeing the Eiffel Tower in Jesus' name. I remember seeing the Niagara Falls in Jesus' name. I remember seeing Jerusalem in Jesus' name. I remember seeing Kathmandu and Mount Everest in Jesus' name. This is what I remember. This is my blessing. Praise God. My God has been good to me. I remember the day my boss called me and said, congratulations, you're a professor. Professor, three professors from Germany, from Austria, and from Germany, Austria, and Australia together agreed that you should be a professor. And I went on my knees and thanked Jesus. These are what I remember. This is my life. A blessed life. God is good. I would never want to live any other kind of life. Hallelujah. God has been good to me. He will be good to you. Praise God. Just remember the Lord thy God. Remember to fear him. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will bless you. Hallelujah. He will not leave you worse than when he found you. No. Hallelujah. This is my testimony. What do you remember? I hope nobody here remembers the fish of Egypt and the garlic and the melon and the... No. In Jesus' name. You will know people who walk with you in regard to what they remember. If they're always complaining, if they're just a heavy spirit, if they're just putting you down, something is not right. You need to tell them, excuse me, remember the Lord thy God. He just delivered you from 430 years of slavery. And you are talking about fish and cucumbers? Are you joking, man? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to be with people who sing about the goodness of the Lord. People who are happy in the simplicity of salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, on the road to Damascus, Jesus immediately came to these people, these two guys who were speaking depressing things. You know, Jesus is offended. He anyhow is attracted to anybody talking about him, but he's interested to know, why are you speaking bad things about me? You are supposed to be my children. You are remembering what? We remember he said that he would save us, etc. We remember that we believe that he would deliver us, and he's walking with them. You see, sometimes you may remember something which is not true because they are believing Jesus died and is in the grave and he's talking with them. What do we remember? What are we saying? So Jesus finished listening to them. Imagine somebody who's alive and everybody's talking about him being dead. Jesus had a big job to do after the resurrection. He has to visit all of them, 500 at one time, to make them all understand. Stop saying I'm dead. Stop crying for me and moaning for me. That's why the angel said, why are you all coming to the graveyard? There is no funeral. Jesus never asked for a funeral. There is no funeral. Remember his words. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, the children of Israel, the mixed multitude, they were longing for suffering, for slavery, for depression and oppression and burdens. Their memory was distorted. They didn't seem to recall the whipping, the despair, the agony. They only remembered the fish and vegetables in Egypt. They failed to remember God's mighty acts of deliverance and his daily provision in the wilderness. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I've said it before, the children of Israel were the only nation that was moving in the midst of other nations. Imagine a nation within nations. They do not take anything from any nation. They do not even leave behind rubbish in your nation. Think about it. Because they would collect exactly the amount of manna they need, and there's nothing to throw away. God made sure that they did not depend on any nation for their food. Imagine if a whole nation, 2 million, goes through your country, and all they say is, listen, we are not going to touch you. We are not going to take even one apple from an apple tree. We don't have time to sow anything and wait for a harvest. We are on the move. So where do you get your food from? From heaven. Where is your kitchen? Our kitchen is in heaven. Who prepares your food? Who is your cook? His name is Jesus. He's our God. Hallelujah. What? Invisible kitchen? Fresh food every day from heaven falling upon them. Did you know they touched nothing? They didn't even drink the water of these people. God gave them water in the desert. You know, water is very difficult to find in the desert. This shows that when you walk with your God, he will take care of you. He's Jehovah Jireh. He doesn't want us to be depending on sinners. He doesn't want us to be depending on nations that are Amalekites and Amorites and Jebusites. Praise God. Let us bless the name of Jesus. He's our God. He will provide for us. He will take care of us. Please never be dependent on any human being. Amen. I'm trying to make you understand. See, the book of Deuteronomy and all is written for our benefit today. God wants us to be like Abraham, trust in the Lord. Whatever the government is giving you, thank God for it, but don't depend on them. Depend on Jesus to take care of you, to give you your own blessing, your own independence, as much as possible in Jesus' name. Our God is our King. We are a nation in His kingdom. We're a nation on the move. He didn't call us to settle down and begin to be behaving like those nations. We are on the way to the land of Canaan. We're on the way to heaven. Say, I'm on the way to heaven. Hallelujah. My God will provide for me as I walk towards heaven. We also remember Joseph, a man who was in a foreign country, sold by his brothers, a slave, but he never forgot his God. He always remembered the God of Jacob. Oh, hallelujah. Joseph teaches us there is no excuse. You can be alone in a foreign country and you can be oppressed, but nobody can stop you from remembering your God. Hallelujah. No matter what the hardship, he remembered the God of Jacob. Praise God. Finally, when God made him this great leader, very powerful, and his brothers stood before him, you know what he told them? In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, he said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Wow. What a statement. Do you know when he said to save much people, he's not only speaking about his family. He's speaking about all the people who came from all over the world to receive corn from him in Egypt. What a man. What a unique man of God. He really wanted to save many people, not only his family. So while his brothers wanted him to die, he wanted everyone to live. This is why God chose Joseph, although he was not the eldest son. God knows each and every one of us. He knows our hearts. And God saw that Joseph loved humanity. He loved everyone. He wants to save lives. He wants to be a good person. The more evil that was done to him, it did not make him hard. It made him softer. Listen to what I'm saying. There's some people who say, you don't know what I've been through, so I've become a hard man. Life was hard and I became hard. It doesn't have to be that way. Suffering, a lot of suffering, can also make you softer. If you have suffered, you should be able to feel the suffering of others. Amen. And Joseph, the more he suffered, the more he wants to save lives. He wants justice. He wants mercy. He wants goodness. We don't believe in taking revenge. We don't believe in wishing evil upon anyone. The nature of the love of Jesus, the agape love, the Bible tells us, it does not rejoice in evil. It rejoices in good, praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. God gave us Joseph. God gave us Daniel. God gave us John, people of love and mercy and righteousness. Remember, why did God bless Joseph? Because he remembered the God of Jacob. He remembered the God of Isaac. He remembered the God of Abraham while he was in Egypt. He told them about his God, and God never forgot him. If you remember Jesus, He will never forget you. He will remember you too. When I have problems in life, I tell the Lord, Lord, I have tried. I've not been perfect, but I've tried to remember other people when they have pain, when they have problems. Now is my turn to be remembered, Jesus. And he always delivers me. He always blesses me. He always takes me up out of the miry pit. When God strengthens you, strengthen your brothers and sisters, and he will be a present help in times of trouble. Hallelujah. This is the law of our God. He's a good God, and he wants us to remember. Remember him. Praise God. Jesus himself, our Lord, reminded his followers of his promise to give them hope. Jesus himself often reminded his followers of his promises to give them hope. Before his crucifixion, he told his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." When they were filled with fear and uncertainty, Jesus directed their focus towards his words and promises, to remember that he was preparing a place for them. Their hope and comfort were sustained by recalling, say recalling, remembering his assurances of eternal life and his love. The act of remembering his words gave them confidence to face suffering and death. They knew that God will keep his promises. Do you see the Apostle Paul, an old man? He had suffered shipwrecks, imprisonments, beatings. When he was old, he said in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." You see, he didn't speak negative, evil things. He said, "It was a good fight. I enjoyed this fight." Praise God. Paul's hope was rooted in his memory of God's promises. He remembered God's past faithfulness, and he was sure of the promise of a future reward in Christ. When he remembered all these things, he said, "I have fought a good fight." The memory, the process was a blessing. Hallelujah. But we also see the wife of Lot. Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember. Let's say, "Remember Lot's wife." If you have a neighbor with you, say, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember. Why? Because she remembered Sodom and Gomorrah. Huh? Are you with me? Why should we remember Lot's wife? Because she remembered Sodom and Gomorrah, and because of that, she became a pillar of salt. What Jesus is saying is, remember not to remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember not to love your past. Love your sinful past. When God delivers you from your sinful past, do not remember it. Leave it. Don't look back. Don't miss it. Some people want to go back and record their evil past, take pictures. No, no, no. Some things you don't need to remember. Thank God you are delivered from it. Do not remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Meaning, don't turn back and appreciate it and cry for it. Don't remember evil, meaning don't appreciate. Remember Lot's wife. She lost everything because she remembered and she loved Sodom and Gomorrah. God in his mercy could have made, you know, he could have made so many hundreds of thousands of Israelites become pillars of salt when they said, "Oh, we remember the fish." God is merciful. Let us never, brothers and sisters, ever miss our old lives. Thank God he closed the door. Say, I don't even remember the way. The seraphim and cherubim have blocked me from going back to that place of sin. I don't know where that tree is, because God in his love put two flaming swords to block the way back in Jesus' name. You know, this is what we should pray. Are you suffering with some addiction? Tell Jesus, please put two flaming swords so that I can't go back to my sinful past in Jesus' name. Remember Lot's wife. We're speaking about remembering. Praise God. Her failure shows us that remembering what God commands us to leave behind can be deadly. When God calls us to move forward in obedience, we must remember his words and promise, but we should never cling to the past to allow longing for sin in the past to hinder our obedience. Her mistake was fixing her eyes on the familiar instead of trusting God's plan. She remembered her previous life, but did so with a heart of disobedience and distrust, and there was nothing good in her past. May God help us to remember his promises, his word. Amen. May we remember to rejoice at the promises of God, the future promises of God. Hallelujah. May we remember the goodness of the Lord. May we remember the marvelous wonders of the Lord. May we remember the Lord's salvation, the Lord's truth, the Lord's mercy upon us as we close in Jesus' name. Say with me, remember. Say, I will remember. Jesus said, these things have I told you. When the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. God bless you.